pray, Lord, that as we've gathered together on this day, it's kind of bizarre for us as Christians. We celebrate every day the same. Every day is amazing. Every day we look to your resurrection, your word, and your power. But today is the day that across the world, around the world, billions of people have gone to church today. And as we here approach this Pacific Coast time, this Sunday, this date in April is just about gone. Most countries have already gathered to celebrate the risen Jesus Christ. And so it's our turn. And we pray, Lord, that we would honor you now as we who know you maybe are reminded and excited about what you've done and what you've opened up for us. And maybe for someone here today, it'd be the first time for them to ever come face to face, as it were, with the reality of Jesus Christ. The fact that he's risen from the dead, what that means and what it's going to mean in eternity. That you've made it very clear that now is the time to make that decision. There will be no decision time later. Your Bible's very clear that we have this life and this life alone to choose Christ. So Father, we pray right now that you would just go before us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 3. I am going to read a gospel narrative, but I'm going to ask you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 20 to 21. And from there, we're going to use this statement by the Apostle Paul to believers in Turkey, in Ephesus. We're going to use it to consider the magnitude, the argument, the person of Jesus Christ and what he means to you today. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. There the Bible says, now to him who is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, that's a lot, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And it says there, amen. An amazing statement by the apostle. The gospel had gone out 2,000 years ago. The gospel, the evangel, the good news that Jesus Christ had come, listen, according to the scriptures. That the Bible said that Jesus would come. It was laid out in thousands and thousands of years old of scripture. Promises, for example, the nation of Israel had the word of God. And the Bible said that the Messiah would come. In fact, it goes so far to say that the Messiah of the world would come from heaven and be born in a little village called Bethlehem. The Bible says that that one that would be born in Bethlehem would be eternal. The Bible says that he would be one who would raise the dead, that he would open the eyes of the blind. All this was foretold in the ancient Hebrew prophets with profound clarity. You couldn't miss it. And as you might have looked at last Sunday when you were hearing the message, that on Palm Sunday, the very day last week that Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem, was laid out all in Bible prophecy. Why do I stress that this morning? Because maybe if you're here today and you're not sure if you believe in Jesus Christ, or you think that you can be user-friendly with him, that you can log on to his existence whenever you want and then get out of it. I want you to know something right now. The Bible says that he is God come to earth in human flesh. And all this week we've been celebrating the fact that he has been displaying to us and the word of God displays to us love beyond measure. That is our theme. And what an amazing thing it is for us to gather together as Christians. And I don't know how you take that news today that God loves you. Sometimes we, it's kind of like, oh yeah, well, whatever. You know, you and I live in an age right now, we are so overstimulated, are we not, with stuff. So much stuff. By the way, you buy something. I mean, look, you buy a phone. How long is that new smartphone, smart and new? Not very long, is it? You buy a new car. How long does it take before it feels old again? Kind of like when you get the first dent in it. Things are going so fast that what is new is already old before you and I sometimes even find out about it. You and I live in an age that it's moving so fast, but the news that we talk about today, that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, that's old news. It's eternal news. It's prophetic news. But listen, it is more current than what's coming next. Because every one of us will live and die. And Jesus Christ is the one who every one of us, within the hearing of my voice, every one of us will someday meet Jesus face to face. It may be on good terms or it may be on bad terms. That's your decision to make. But he has gone beyond communicating his love to us. And so today I pray that you might be a little bit shocked. I'm going to review the gospel narrative that's out of Luke's gospel, chapter 24. And then we'll get into why you and I, as a believer, or maybe today as a non-believer, or maybe somebody who has a relationship with God, as I pray most of us, if not all of us do, versus someone who's religious, that you come to a point of decision. The Bible tells us in Luke's gospel, chapter 24, that it was early on Sunday morning that the women came to the tomb and they brought spices. Those were embalming fluids that they might anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Their dilemma, as they said, was this: who's going to roll away the stone for us? It's a great stone. In fact, just a week ago, many of us on tour in Israel, it was amazing. We went to the place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. It's an archaeological site. It looks like, with the eyes and the sockets, it looks like a skull. And then a stone's throw away, about from this side of the sanctuary to about over here to this side of the sanctuary, is a large family tomb that was unearthed, and it was in a garden. And in that tomb, the archaeologists show us that people had worked on it, making it larger as a family tomb. And then something happened, and it caused that tomb to no longer be used ever again 2,000 years ago. The place of the skull, Golgotha, the Bible says in John's gospel that where Jesus was crucified, he was laid in a nearby tomb. The Bible tells this. Archaeology tells us this. And the women were going to the tomb, but this great stone was there, and that was their big challenge. But the Bible tells us in another place that the ground shook. And of course it says that an angel appeared and rolled back the stone. Not to let Jesus out, mind you, but to let the disciples in. And they came, and they saw that the tomb was empty. And they went back and they reported what they had seen or not seen to the disciples. And the Bible says that the words of those women reporting the good news seemed like idle tales to the disciples. They didn't believe it. Eventually, John and Peter began to run to the tomb, and they found it emptied. And then the Bible tells us that in time, Jesus appeared to them. 2,000 years ago, this message went out, and it continues to sweep the earth today. And you're here today because this message is not only one that continues to go. Notice the fact of the evidence that it keeps its argument before the hearing of men, but that perhaps you've come today to worship him who is risen. I love the fact that the Bible says that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Almighty, who was alive, who died, and who lives again. Think of it. That God would come from heaven to earth to die on the cross. God! To die in our place. But on Sunday morning, be resurrected from the dead. All of a sudden, listen, let's play skeptic for a moment. If that's true, if it's true, then it shatters all of our fears. If all of the things that cause you and I to be obsessed with fear or being intimidated or what's going to happen next, wait a minute. If God can raise the dead, and if the prototype of our hope is none other than Jesus, recorded in the scripture, then it changes everything. Everything changes. Love beyond measure all of a sudden stands up, as it were, to you and I today and says, you must consider Jesus Christ. There's no religion in the world that's got the story that you can hear today. Jesus is risen from the dead. And that Bible's narrative goes on to tell us that as two disciples were walking that afternoon on that Sunday, they were walking back to their home. I love this. I would love to see this. As they're walking, the Bible says they're discussing the events of the day. And the scripture says Jesus came, and they didn't recognize him. It says Jesus came suddenly alongside them. How cool is that? They're just walking and Jesus just shows up. Hey, what's up? What's going on? And they said, are you a stranger in these areas? Do you not know what's happened? And Jesus says, what things? By the way, listen, I think Jesus is going to ask you today, what things? What things do you know? What things can you say out of your mouth? Yeah, yeah, I heard this. I heard that. Jesus might come alongside your heart today and say, what things? And so when he asked them, what things do you mean? They said, concerning the Christ, the Son of God. He was mighty in word and in deed, and he did miracles, and he preached about the kingdom, but he was betrayed, and he was beaten, and he was crucified, and now, after all, it's the third day, and we had hoped, past tense, we had hoped that he was the one. And the Bible says that as they entered near their home, Jesus went into their home with them. And the scripture says that as they began to break bread, Jesus took the bread and he broke the bread. And I don't know what transpired, the supernaturalness of it all, or did they see the holes in his hands? But he broke bread, and it says at that moment their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. And the scripture says that he vanished from their sight. He had told them, by the way, the scripture says that from Moses throughout all the prophets, shouldn't the Christ have come and suffered all these things, but on the third day be glorified? Church, do you hear that news? That God says, look to my word, question it, examine it, and hold my claims up to your skepticism. Hold my deeds up to your scrutiny and decide. And when you think about love beyond measure, look, if you've studied psychology or sociology, when you strip everything away, it comes down to this. People want to be loved. Look, don't sit here today as some big, you know, tough guy. I don't want to be loved. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You were created by God to desire and to impart love. I don't care how macho you might look today. You want to be loved. And God made you to be one who loves others. Where does this come from? And the very consciousness that in our minds, all of us, no matter what we claim to believe or not believe, the thought that, is there an eternity? What happens after death? Is there hope? It's an absolute fact. 1 o'clock this morning, a friend of mine in Europe sent out his text. 1 o'clock this morning, his 4-year-old daughter died on resurrection morning. He's a believer, and his text said, my daughter, our daughter has died. But she's alive right now, sitting next to Jesus in heaven. And you might say, that's just the lamentation of a parent grieving beside themselves. No, you know what? That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all those who believe in Christ Jesus and trust in him, in that moment of death, we enter into the presence of God. The opposite of that, the Bible says, is hell. That the moment somebody dies and they do not have the entrance into heaven, wherever Jesus is not, the Bible makes it very clear that in eternity, it's a place called hell. And the Bible says he came that we wouldn't have to do that, that we wouldn't have to see it. And so in my thoughts, I put some things together, love beyond measure. And I'll go through these things very quickly. What would that look like and how would that challenge my life? If God is real and true, and if God is love, as the Bible says, and if his love then would be as he is beyond measure, consider this. Did you know that God loves you and his love is beyond measure? Because listen, he desires you to know him. I want you to think about this for a moment. God, the God of the Bible, he does not set up, listen, don't think this for a moment. He does not set up a gauntlet, an impossible path that you cannot get to him. He doesn't set up some sort of hurdle or system to whereby if you go through all of these things and you do all of these penance and you pay this much and you do these duties, then you can enter into his presence. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that God has made the way freely to all those who will believe by Jesus Christ. He wants you to know him. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it make sense? Don't you want to know people? Don't you want to love? Don't you want to have some intimate relationship and camaraderie with family? Maybe it's with parents or maybe it's with child, husband or wife. You were created in the image of God and God wants to know you. Is that so far-fetched to consider? If God is love, doesn't it make sense that he would want you to know him personally? The Bible argues this. That when Jesus was in the region of Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, he was preaching the gospel. And so the scriptures were fulfilled of the prophet Isaiah that said that those who live beyond the Jordan in the land of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And those who have sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach to change your mind. The word is repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of God has come. Think of it. Whenever the good news arrives, even today for some of you, remember, God doesn't want you to become religious. He wants you to become his child. He wants you to become one who gets to receive and enjoy all the benefits of what Jesus did at the cross for you. He died for me. He died for you. And Jesus came, and what did he say? Jesus said, change your mind. The kingdom of God has arrived. Maybe that's true for you today. We need to have a mind change regarding that. The second thing I want you to consider this. If love beyond measure is true, then listen, wouldn't it make sense that God would reach out? And I've noticed this, that God, when he reaches out, most often does it in familiar ways. Familiar ways. Listen, familiar ways. See, most people, when we think about, well, I want God to do this for me, and then I'll believe. What if God chooses to speak almost continually to us in familiar ways? Now, this is, what service is this? Second service, right, today? We've been walking around this campus since 4:30 this morning. Why do I tell you this? Because we're so excited to get here today. And we were walking around at 4:30 this morning. The birds were singing in the courtyard like it was broad daylight. Now, look, did they know what today was all about? Did they know it was resurrection morning? I don't know what they know. I just know that God knows them. He says so, right? But they were singing, and I noticed that. I thought, that's cool. That's cool. But you know what? How often does God speak to us in very familiar things? What's going on in your life? Isn't it funny? We miss things so often. Something happens and we think God is not involved in it. Something happens and we think that he's not listening. Something happens and we think that God is not near to us. It's the exact opposite. My dear friends, my friend and his wife were mourning the loss and graduation of their little daughter. Let me tell you, with mixed emotions, of course, they wanted to see their little baby girl grow up. But you know what? They're going to go see her someday. That's what God promises. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you die believing in me, yet shall you live. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And when God extends his love, I believe that he does it so continually, we often miss the real deep truth of it all. And I think he's speaking. You might say, I need him to speak to me. And I want to counter and come back and say, I think he's speaking in situations, in life. And I want you to consider that in your mind. You know, when he reaches out in familiar ways, I just jotted down three quick things. Jesus met a woman at Jacob's well in Samaria. You've read that in your Bible, haven't you? They were in the Galilee region in the north ministry, and Jesus is heading down to Jerusalem in the south. And the Jews would not go through Samaria because Samaritans were half-breeds. They were half Hebrew and half pagan by intermarriage, by a previous culture. So the Jews would avoid Samaria. So what does Jesus do? Church, was Jesus not Jewish? He was Jewish. So what does he do? Because he's God in skin. Don't you love that? He says to the disciples, it's important we go through Samaria. Can you imagine the disciples? Oh, what? And Jesus goes, yep, follow me. And he walks through Samaria. And where does he go? He goes right to Jacob's well. Why? There was a woman at that well. Remember that? And go ahead and read it later in John's gospel. But it is amazing because she doesn't know who he is. He knows exactly who she is. And he says, I'd like to have a drink of water. And she goes, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a Samaritan for a drink of water? We're not supposed to talk. And there's a dialogue that is struck there in the scripture. You can read about it. And Jesus says, why don't you go tell your husband that I'm here? And she goes, well, I don't. Listen to this. She goes, well, I don't have a husband. You can almost. She doesn't know who he is. She says, I don't have a husband. I'm doing the best I can, people. I'm sorry. This is. And Jesus says to her, that's true. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Can you imagine your mask getting knocked off a little bit at that moment? And she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And what happened in that moment? Jesus took out a stick and he beat her to death with it. No. Look, those of you who don't know your Bible, that's not what happened. Jesus shared with her eternal life. Jesus shared with her the message of the gospel. She got so excited, she wound up trusting in Christ. She ran to her village, and the whole town came out. And they said, "Now, listen, we believe in him, not because you do, but because we've seen him with our own eyes." Familiar ways. What about the man who was the demoniac in Gadara? We were just there. We were just there in Israel, in Gadara. No Jews like to go to that region. It's still vacant. It's been unpopulated for over 2,000 years. Why? Because there's tombs there, ancient tombs. And the Bible says that there was a man there possessed with demons. And what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He tells the disciples, "Get in a boat. We're going to go take a boat ride." And they get in a boat, and Jesus, now remember that region, if you know, you know, and if you don't know, let me tell you, one of the reasons why the Jews avoided the area was not only because Gentiles lived in the region, and there were a bunch of tombs there, but they raised pigs there in kosher country. Can you imagine? What does Jesus do? He has Peter set the compass on the boat to port pig. And I'm wondering what the disciples were thinking. We're kind of getting close to pig land here. We're kind of getting close to Farmer John up here. What's he thinking? What is he thinking? And the Bible says that the boat hits the shore. Jesus steps out on the shore. And the scripture says this demoniac, the man is naked, possessed, and he's all scarred up from mutilating himself, runs up to Jesus, and then these voices come out and they say, "We know who you are, Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the end?" And Jesus says, "Come out of him." Isn't that cool? Come out of him. Jesus just speaks the word. And the Bible says the demons left that man. And he sat in his right mind. Familiar to that man was living in tombs. Familiar to that man was knowing nothing but insanity. And Jesus took that boat and those disciples head on right into it. Don't you love him? When you've got to go to the hospital, or when you've got the word from that doctor, or when your wife or your husband says, "See ya," Jesus sets course for your soul. Jesus is reaching out. He may not have caused those things, but he'll use those things to get your attention. I think of the poor man, how Jesus reaches out in familiar ways at the pools of Bethesda. The guy's crippled. If you don't know the story, a vast group of people would gather together at certain times because the water would stir up, and they thought it was an angel shaking or stirring up the water. What really happened, it was spring-fed waters, and at times, bubbles would come up to the top. But look, when you're desperate, you'll grab onto anything. "Oh, I need to have a horoscope read so I can find out how my day is going to be." Why don't you read the Bible and watch how your day is going to be? Think about it, really. "Oh, you know, oh my goodness, what's going to, let's see how the stars align. Let's go to P.F. Chang's and read our cookie, what's it called? Wish, fortune cookie." Gosh, you know what? I think about all those fortune cookies I've read. I would be so rich by now. Really? Listen, when you're desperate, you're grabbing for things. And the man, listen, Jesus walks up there and there's this huge crowd in need. And they're waiting for the water to move. And the tradition is, whoever gets into the water first wins. They get healed. But there's a man there, his legs don't work. They've never worked. And Jesus comes up to him and says, I mean, you got to read it at length. It's awesome. Jesus says, "Hi, what would you like me to do for you?" Well, he says, "Every time those bubbles come up, just before I go to jump in, by the time I get there, somebody takes cuts. And I never get in. The man is asking Jesus to put him in the water at the right time. Jesus doesn't even address the water. Jesus says, why don't you stand up and pick up your towels and your rags and your portable bed that you've been living in all your life? Why don't you pick it up and why don't you go on home? And the Bible says the man was immediately strengthened and he got up and he began to rejoice and praise God. Don't you love how Jesus meets us in our familiar moments? The thing is, we've got to have our eyes and our ears and our hearts open. He's there. But how often do we miss him? Listen, the opportunity for you today is to accept Jesus Christ. He's here. He's everywhere. I encourage you not to miss that opportunity. Isn't it amazing that love beyond measure is also from God, relentless? He pursues you. God is always pursuing or after our hearts. The Bible tells us that in Jeremiah 31:3, that God loves us with this everlasting love, so he draws us to himself. You know, the old Puritans used to call it wooing. That the Holy Spirit woos you. What does that mean? To constantly be getting you to consider and to open your heart and your mind to God's love. You've been hearing about God loving you. You've been hearing about Jesus forgiving you. But did you know that must be accepted? It's not by default. Please hear me. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. You can't go to heaven by default. You can't play ignorant and think that you just get in by default. God doesn't grade on a curve. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Why? Because eternity's at stake and it cost God his life on the cross. It all comes down to a choice. A choice. Listen, did Jesus hang on the cross publicly? The answer to that is yes. Jesus said, all those who will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father, which is in heaven. Well, that also means, because he said, if you deny me before men, then I will have to deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. Did you all hear that? That's a serious... See, what do I have to do to be saved? Well, Jesus said you have to do the works of God. Oh no, what is that? To believe on him whom God has sent. But once you believe on him whom God has sent, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that you should take a stand for him, meaning that you should make your faith public in him. Isn't that kind of how life is in everything anyway? Think of it. You live publicly. You and I live among one another, created by God. We interface with other people. We're social creations of God. Maybe some of you have been religious for a long time, but you've never publicly acknowledged Jesus Christ before others. You say, Jack, that's scary. I understand that it's scary, but I remember doing it myself. I remember this. I kind of liken it this way. For me, when I go to the beach, I'm going in the water. I've told you guys this before. When I go to the beach, I'm going in the water. Well, how cold is it? I don't care how cold it is. If I wasn't going to go in the water, I wouldn't have gone to the beach. Right? Think. Are you guys awake? Okay. So here's the thing. Girls are great. At least my girls. My daughters or Lisa. It's like, I mean, oh, here we go. And, you know, they're all dressed for the beach. And it's like, and some people spend an hour going like this. I don't know. And then it's so sad because then by the time it's time to go home, now they get all, no, I'm in, I'm in. Well, get in the car, it's time to go. No, if you go and you know you're going to go get wet, then you just go in. If it's cold or not, you go in. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because when this message comes to an end very, very soon, you're going to be asked to make a decision. And you know you should do it, but then there's going to be, you know, as it were, that little voice. You've all seen it with Bugs Bunny cartoons. There's a voice on this shoulder and a voice on the other shoulder, and you're going to have a battle with yourself. I need to do this. Oh, you can't do this because you're going to look like an idiot. Oh, but I really need to do this. Oh, what will people think? And all of this stuff in your mind. And Jesus said, listen, you're either for me or you're against me. In other words, there's no gray area. There's no gray area. I laugh because if we're in Hollywood or if we see some famous person that's like, oh man, dude, can I get a picture with you? Why? Oh, they're famous. Imagine if Jesus Christ walked into this room right now. Better yet, let's say we hear a trumpet blast. Because, you know, the Bible says, if you don't know, the Bible says he's going to come back at an hour that you don't know. Can you imagine there's a trumpet blast? And now this is in slow motion. And you pull out your phone. Oh, my goodness. And as you're going up, you Instagram it to all your friends being left behind. You've been left behind. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? Have you noticed that God invades our deepest thoughts? He loves us. He invades our thoughts. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that God knows our thoughts before we even form them in our minds. Think of that. He knows our thoughts. He won't think for you, but he knows your thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, even as a Christian, I've been a Christian for 37 years. It's like, God, why didn't you stop that thought before I thought it? I mean, you knew it before it was coming, and I don't like it, and I don't want it, and I know that's a sinful thought. Get it out of my mind! But imagine, God knows your thoughts. He invades your thoughts. You know when you lay down on your pillow at night and your mind is there and there's nobody else around? I don't care if your husband or wife is laying next to you. You're alone. Think about it. You're alone with your thoughts, and God is speaking. And sometimes he says things like, I want you to be ready to do whatever I ask you to do, okay? Yes, yes, Lord. Maybe some of you hear this. You need to trust in my son. You've been fighting him too long. You've been running too hard. How about this? Has God ever said to you, I remember when he said to me so long ago, your arguments do not hold water. Some of you today, you don't believe in Jesus and you're proud of it. And yet I promise you this. Look, I've talked to a lot of people in my life since becoming a Christian. I have yet to hear a good argument for why someone's not a Christian. Why are you not a Christian today? Well, my grandmother upset me. I didn't ask you that. When you take this word and you read this word and you see how God keeps his word, God is accurate. Listen, if God was inaccurate, then let's just all go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But God is holy, God is true, and he's real. The Bible says that he loves you. He calls out to us, God calls out to us, and he wants us to experience his salvation. Jesus is on the cross. We talked about that Friday night. Jesus is on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That doesn't mean everybody's forgiven. Jesus is interceding. He's opening up that door of opportunity for people to be saved. He's saying, Father, don't hold this crucifixion against them in this sense that they've crucified me today on this hill in Israel in the Roman Empire before the Jewish religious leadership. It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. It was his perfection that caused him to be risen from the dead. And he says, believe in me. The amazing thing is how much God sacrificed to have us in heaven. How much God sacrifices to have us in heaven. Isn't it weird when you think about it? Think. He wants you there. You. Now look, theologically, please don't ask me later how to explain this. I'm telling you now, I can't do it. I just know it's theologically true. Sometimes I just have these strange thoughts that, how can it be? But theologically true, did you know that if Adam and Eve would have given birth in the Garden of Eden to you, and you were the only kid born to Adam and Eve, that when Adam and Eve sinned and plunged the entire human race, which is only three of them in our story right now, in sinful separation from God, did you know theologically Jesus Christ would have come and died on the cross for those three people? Now look, I know that's theologically true, and if I was taking an exam at seminary, I'd get that correct. But what do I really feel about that? You see, my feelings are what rip me off. It's theologically true. Here's my struggle. Am I that valuable to God? You're not, listen, can I say this with some form of candor? You're not even that valuable to you. I'm not even that valuable to me, if you think about that. And God says, but you are that valuable to me. The sacrifice he has made. And then we end with this. Love beyond measure. Why are we here today? Because Jesus gives eternal life. Now you think about this. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Isn't it great? He says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. He doesn't go up there. He doesn't go up to sheep and put them in a headlock, poke their eyes, punch them. He doesn't whip them, say, follow me. Didn't I say to follow me? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave. The Bible said he would. The Bible said he did. The Bible says that by the works of your good deeds shall you not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but by faith alone in Christ and all that he's done for you. And if today you're sitting here and you're going, well, that's kind of easy. Are you serious? He died in my place and all I need to do is acknowledge, recognize that I'm a sinner. I have had those thoughts or I have had those struggles and he wants to change my life? You mean he wants me to start over? He's going to give me that chance? Yes. And the Bible says that when you come to the end of your life, he will take your hand into eternity. Why would you pass this up? I mean, honestly, really? Listen, I'm going to ask the worship team to come out. We're going to wrap this up. I got to ask you. We really need to thank people. Because if you, for example, if you want to drive a new car, imagine if somebody said, well, you know, if you buy our car every year on the day that you buy this car today, every year, your car becomes brand new. Would you buy that car? Well, you would buy that car. Jesus says, listen, because I've risen from the dead, I will give you eternal life and it starts today. Let's bow our heads right now. And I'm going to challenge, well, I hope it's not me. I hope it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and challenging you. But let's bow our heads. Nobody move, please. Nobody distract anybody. If you're in overflow right now, the same for you. Will you just bow your head? And I know, listen, in a moment, some of you are going to feel a deep sense of uneasiness. How do I know? Because I had this happen to me too. Some of you will sense nothing at all. You, in fact, you've scarcely heard a word that's been said today. Nothing makes sense to you. But for some of you, it will make sense. And to those of you who it's making sense to, and you sense that God is stirring up your soul like a spiritual tornado on the inside, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me and mean it from the depths of your heart. Father, I ask you, Lord, to move in this place here and now. And God, that you would tear the mask away, that you would knock off the facades that we as humans custom design. We put this on or we take this off or we do this or we do that to get someone to think better of us. It's always better of us. That somehow the perception is what's real. And it's all like a universal city set. It's all fake. But today we would be honest, that we would confess today that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross and rose again from the grave. And today I'm coming to put my life into his hands. Friend, if that's you right now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to put your hands up wherever you're at. You put your hand up and you're saying, Pastor Jack, that's me. I'm choosing life today. I've heard this message. There's a storm going on inside of me, and I know I'm supposed to do this. I don't understand it all, but I know it's the right thing to do. Put your hand high if that's you today. God is offering you eternal life. God bless you in the aisle. Anyone else to my right? Anyone else in the back? God bless you. Imagine today, for the Bible says, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart. If there was a grand cruise ship pulling away from the port, and there were those saying, come, get on board, come. Take that ticket and get on board. Would you take the ticket that God offers today? And it's Jesus died in my place on the cross and he rose again from the grave. And I want to become a person who follows Jesus. I want my sins forgiven and I want a new life. Anyone else at this last moment? You can put your hands down. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, all of us. Let's stand right now, but remain standing. Let's all stand. Those of you who are Christians, the awesome thing about being a Christian is that you know it. And it's never more precious than in those times of crisis. Our God never forsakes us. My hope today is that if there's anyone here that you're just not willing to even look towards Jesus. Listen, through Christ, we love you, but we pray that you would not be able to sleep from this day on. You would not be able to rest day or night until you bow your heart to Jesus. Because this is the greatest news you'll ever hear, and it is eternal. And it's free to you and me because it costs God everything. So let's pray. Those of you who lifted your hands, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to make me your child. Save me, Lord. Write my name in your book of life forever. I give you my life. I now decide to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now listen, we're going to sing this song of worship here. And at the end of this service today, those of you who have raised your hands, to your left, there's the New Beginnings table out there. And there'll be people out there who'll want to give you a brand new Bible. And inside that Bible, there's some things in there that we've put to help you regarding your decision for Jesus. There's an excellent DVD in there. There's some opportunities for you to find out what do you do next. But man, I got to tell you, as a Christian, have you been looking around the world? Has the world gone crazy? I am so glad that my God keeps his promises. I am so glad that what Jesus has promised you and I, he's going to do. So at the end of the song, you make your way over there. Let's sing the song in closing of praise and worship to God. God bless you guys. Go wherever you go today. You tell people Jesus is risen from the dead. Shake it up. Make people think. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.